Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
There's a new machine down at the gym today. I used it for an hour and felt sick. It's great, though. It's got everything. Kit Kats, M&M's, Snickers, the whole lot. I will tell you, I got convicted this week. I was like, if we are preaching on core strength, I better be working out. I better be building physical core strength if we're talking about spiritual core strength. If God didn't care about our bodies, he wouldn't have given them to us, right? So we don't want to over-spiritualize either. And so I started doing this 21-day core strength challenge, which I'm not going to share with you. But if you want to, all you have to do is Google a 21-day or a 30-day core strength challenge on YouTube. And there's a lot of options. So you can do it with a guy or a girl or whatever you want to do there. But last night, I always review my message notes before I go to bed, and I was doing my core strength workout while I was reviewing my notes, which tells you how intense the workout was. It wasn't very intense, but I'm just letting you know I got my workout in while I was looking at my notes. So if I break into jump squats or whatever, during the notes, that's why. But I actually encourage you. We're talking about core strength this month, if you are wondering what in the world I'm talking about. We're talking about core strength, and I encourage you to actually challenge yourself to something physical as we're also investing in our spiritual this month on core strength. So whatever that looks like for you, I actually encourage you to do that. My back pain went from a 10 to a 2, so it does work. So we're talking about core strength. What do we do when life's pressure is overwhelming? When our world is on the edge of a lot of uncertainty? Anybody been feeling some uncertainty? Doesn't really matter what you believe. There's just a lot of uncertainty, right? But we're not called to focus on the uncertainty, but there is an invitation. There's a necessity to build a core strength so that we can actually be stable through the instability. Right? Core strength stabilizes you. Just like my back pain went down, it was like a miracle. I worked out for 10 minutes and it went down. I was like, if it was that easy, what was I doing the last 10 years, right? It's not always that simple, but for me it was. And so that stability that comes through core strength in Christ, it can be life or death. How many know that an unstable home can have a huge impact on generations, right? But a stable home can change a nation, right? And it can transform a city. And if you feel like, you're coming in and you're feeling like your world is unstable, it's not too late. It's not too late. Jesus is in the business of restoring, amen, of transforming and of redeeming, right? And so he's here to stabilize you this morning. Our key verse is Isaiah 40, verse 31. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. If you've been watching the Olympics, this is a great verse to be meditating on as you watch them run, because it's like the physical manifestation of the verse most of the time, depending on the race, right? It's really quite amazing. Last week, we talked about the strongest humans alive, right? I don't remember what I said, but it was like the strongest man and the strongest woman and what they could bench and stuff. But today, we're going to talk about the strongest cats and dogs alive. All right, I know you're super excited. So who are my cat people? Anybody? All right. Who are my dog people? Okay. We got some dogs. All right. That's awesome. We're not going to have a bring your dog to church day. I know some of you would like that. Maybe at the park. All right. So the Turkish Kangal dog has a PSI, which is a pounds per square inch bite force of 743. That is more than a lion. But according to the internet, they're great family dogs. I'm reading this article and I'm like, for what family? Like the royal family? I'm not putting that in my house, right? I don't know if you've ever gotten attacked by a dog, but I did. I had 32 stitches when I was a kid. It almost took my eye out. So I have respect for dogs. Great respect. All right. It was a puppy too. I don't want to know what the Turkish Kangal can do. All right. The Siberian tiger is the largest and most powerful cat. They can run up to 55 miles per hour and leap as far as 32 feet. I don't know the distance here, but I bet it they could jump most of the sanctuary, right? And they have a bite force of 1,000 PSI. That is double that of a lion. And they have 30 3-inch long teeth. The average person's punch is 150 PSI for comparison. I think my PSI is probably like 20, right? For being honest here, maybe after the core strength series. So humans are definitely not the strongest force on Earth, right? And have you ever been like, God, I just know you're stronger than me? Have you ever prayed that prayer? It feels like a very holy prayer, right? God, you're just so much stronger. I gotta believe you're just stronger than me. When in reality, the actual prayer should be like, God, you're stronger than the Turkish Kangol dog, right? That's a worship song I want to hear. How about, God, you are stronger than the Siberian tiger. I bet they are. I bet there are worship songs in other cultures like that. I bet you there are. And I just want us to zoom out, because when we talk about strength, what that word strong means matters, right? And for some of us, that word strong is actually like a trigger word for something negative, right? That word strong means anger. That means strong means who has the most control, right? In a negative way. That word strong means manipulative or dominating or whatever it is. And I want us to redeem what that word strong actually means, right? And I love the definition in Psalm 86:15, because God is strong, right? It says, but you, O Lord, are God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That's a great definition of what strong means, right? I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon. God does not need your strength. He has more than enough power on his own. He asks for your weakness. He has none of that himself. And he is longing, therefore, to take your weakness and use it as the instrument in his own mighty hand. Will you not yield your weakness to him and receive his strength? We can all go home now, except for the Olympics. They're still going on, so just stay with me, all right? But God's love is the strongest force in the universe. And it's almost insulting to be like, God, you're stronger than me. How about, God, you're stronger than the universe, right? God, you're stronger than gravity. This is important because our prayers not only are prayers to God, but they also can shift how we're thinking, right? So it's important we don't put God in a little box or God in a little bubble, but we remember he is King of Kings and he is Lord of the universe. Amen? God's love is stronger than sickness, than discouragement, than failures, than trauma. It's stronger than time, than betrayal, and even death, right? So as we think of core strength, we are not thinking of, you know, having some abs or something, like, oh, wow, what a great idea, even though maybe that will help your back, right? But we are talking about the strength that holds the universe together inside of you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, right? It's exciting. And it redefines, it takes some rewiring of our brain, it takes some healing to redefine what being strong means. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. It's really hard to let go of loving your life. And just when you think you have, you realize you haven't quite yet, right? There's this surrender in life. So what kind of shoes do born-again believers wear? Nikes, right? It was a joke, but it wasn't an actual joke. Nike is the word there for overcome. They overcome. It means victory. So we're going to unpack two practical exercises this morning to build Holy Spirit core strength, all right? We're going to get really practical. And this week's Bible study is really practical. Like every day, it actually asks you 4 or 5 questions to do on your own time. And at Thrive Night this Wednesday at the park, we're going to do some of these exercises together, All right? So I really encourage you this Wednesday night. It's going to be a great Thrive at the Park because we're going to get practical. We're going to have some conversation if you want to participate. And it's going to be really great because there are a couple different options that we're going to do together to build that core strength as a community. So the first exercise is strength by the blood. So let's just read Isaiah 40, 31 one more time. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Can you just say renew? That word renew has a couple different meanings, but one of them means to exchange. They will exchange. So on my last trip out of the country, which was a while ago, unfortunately, I went to Hungary, and some of you might have heard this story, but I have a friend there who was getting married, and she put us up at one of her friend's apartments, so that was nice because it was free to stay there, and then we brought like some maple syrup or whatever you do from the Finger Lakes, right? And then we were like, how do we eat, right? Because we had like minimal budget. Very minimal, right? But we were like, we're going there. You know, we got our ticket. That was like the main thing. And so anyway, we're there and we're trying to budget. We're like, well, if we like go to the grocery store, because that's what you do here, right? Eating out's too expensive. You go to the grocery store, get like a box of pasta or something. Well, the apartment was above this Indian restaurant, which was like the best smelling place on the planet. I love Indian food. And Brian lived in India for a year, so he loves it too. And we went down and we priced it. And it was about $3 to $5 after the exchange. Everyone say exchange, right? After the exchange, it was about $3 to $5 for like a 3-to-5-course meal for both of us. How many know we did not eat pasta that week? We ate Indian, right? We were on a budget. I was like, where's my budget-friendly Indian place here, right? But it was because the exchange rate was so good for us. How many know it wasn't good for Hungarians? Right? And I made the very culturally insensitive comment to my friend being like, this is amazing. And she's like, it's not amazing. Our economy needs help. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. Right? So the exchange rate was in our favor, not theirs. And Jesus, we just lift up Hungarians right now. Hopefully it's better. Hopefully it's better right now. But exchange rate matters, right? And if you've ever traveled to another country, it really matters. Back years ago when we were doing mission work in Israel, we'd have layovers in like Switzerland and England. And sometimes you get on the layover and you can't buy anything. It was like, I'm going to buy a cup of water, please, right? Because the exchange rate was really bad. So exchange rates matter. How many know heaven's exchange rate since the cross has not changed, right? It's not politically, economically, socially dependent. And sometimes we act like it is. How do we act like it is? When the instability around us starts to make us feel unstable. That's when you know that you've forgotten heaven's exchange rate, right? It's a good litmus test. It is only based on the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 1:7 says, he is so rich. Can you just say so? He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. When the enemy comes at our core strength, all he can do is in John 10:10. It says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So when you look at that word life, it actually means physical and spiritual life. I think that's really powerful because sometimes we think it's just spiritual or sometimes we think it's just physical. But he came so we could have life both in the physical and in the spiritual. And that word full means abundant, right? It's like limitless, abundant. When the enemy comes after our core strength or when we feel that our core strength is being depleted, it's usually in these two areas, in the physical and spiritual life, right? Like our ability to live in our ability. And it comes at us in our resources. Have you ever had your resources hit, whether that's time or finances? I don't know if there are any other resources, right? But when those get hit, have you ever found your core strength that just starts to leak out, right? Or when you feel like your ability to do something diminishes, right? Maybe you got sick, maybe you have an injury, or maybe something shifted at work or home, and your ability changed, or your car. What if when your car is in the shop, your ability to get to the store changes, right? Your core strength, your stability feels like it's unstable. You feel very unstable, right? So resources and ability really matter to God, right? And so I love this in these two examples. In Luke 21, verse 1 through 4, we learn about the widow's mite, right? Talk about exchange rates of heaven. It says, "And he looked up and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, 'Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more,'" and that word more means higher value, "'has put higher value in than all. For all of these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had.'" And that word livelihood means physical life. She put her whole physical life in. She gave it all. And there's the exchange rate of heaven right there. God says, prioritize me in your resources and you'll see an exchange rate. Right? I'm not talking about prosperity gospel or something in the extreme form, right? I'm saying that there's an exchange, there's an invitation in our resources, right? Are you following? Number two is in our ability, which is in 2 Corinthians 12:9. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" So I give weakness and I receive power. That's another heaven's exchange rate, right? That word power means ability. So I give my weakness, my inability, and God gives me ability. Have you ever experienced that? It's incredible. That word weakness means frailty, calamity, suffering, illness. So God, I give you my calamity, I give you my suffering, I give you my illness, I give you my frailty of life, and you give me the ability. Isn't that powerful? That word frailty means a person's mental and physical resilience or their ability to bounce back. Anybody having a hard time bouncing back in an area of your life, right? I don't know what it is, but as you get older, your ability to bounce back just isn't quite the same. Have you ever been with a little kid and like they fall and they like stub their toe and they cry and they make a big deal and then they just hop right up and they keep on playing, right? But if one of us were to fall, right, we might not just bounce right back up, right? And so our ability to bounce back, maybe that's why God says to be childlike in faith, right? He's restoring our ability to bounce back. Heaven's exchange rate is off the charts. So our level of surrender to Jesus actually can determine a great part of how much core strength we have. Our level of surrender, of our inability, of our widow's mite, whatever it is, actually can determine how much core strength that we actually have and can operate out of. It says in Matthew 20:28, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as an exchange for many." Heaven's exchange rate. Have you ever noticed that we tend to overemphasize our weakness and underestimate the power of the blood of Jesus? We do this in little ways, like complaining. I don't normally do a double quote, but here's one more quote from Charles Spurgeon. It says, "Our complaining is often a kind of practical atheism." Right? We tend to overemphasize our weakness and underestimate the power of the blood. We do this through our conversation. What is the common theme of your conversations throughout the day? What are the themes that you realize if you had to make a banner theme over the conversations, what would that word be, right? How about the songs we listen to or the songs we sing? What are we meditating on throughout the day? What are we feeding ourselves with and what's coming out, right? Are we overemphasizing our weakness and underestimating the power of the blood of Jesus? Because when we do, we are making an exchange and it's not in the right direction. Right? Even in the old covenant, God was preparing his people to have faith for the power of Jesus' blood. And if you know the story of the Passover or Pesach, that's what that story is, right? To put blood on their houses so the angel of death wouldn't enter, right? God was saying, hey, get ready for the Messiah, right? It says, Exodus 12, 13, the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. How many know that's a great picture of the first thriving home? A thriving home has the blood of Jesus on it, right? That's how it can thrive. It's full of the life of Jesus, and death cannot enter. And some of us need to be praying that over our homes. Amen? It says in 1 Peter, I know I'm saying a lot of scriptures today, and I should have put them up for everybody, but 1 Peter 1:18 through 19, you know that you were redeemed with precious blood like that of a lamb without defect or spot, the blood of Messiah. So this is really interesting because I don't know if you know the song, the Hail, Hail, Lion of Judah, right? Everybody wanted us to do it here, and I'm like, it's not going to sound the same, right? We haven't done it. But anyway, everyone loves to look at God as the Lion of Judah, right? But it's actually more mentioned the Lamb of God. And I did Google this week because I was looking at PSI, right? I was kind of trying to figure out the PSIs. I was like, what's the PSI of a sheep? Like, let's just figure this out. Well, I could not find the PSI of a sheep. It's like zero, literally. One of the articles was like, sheep do not bite. And when they do, it does not hurt. I'm like, oh, man. But let's think about this for a minute. Because we say God is stronger than the universe. And yet his form of strength, according to Earth's standards, has zero bite. What does that mean? He's got a strength that you can't see. It's an inner core strength from heaven, seated in high places with the Father. Amen? So if you're going to look it up, lambs have zero PSI, right? But that's how Jesus chose to come. He didn't come as a tiger, right, or to show himself as a metaphor as a tiger, right? He didn't do that. So that should be a little nod to us. Wait a minute. What am I actually showing? What am I being inspired by? Am I being inspired by like strong PSI, flashy strength, or am I actually being inspired by the quiet whisper, right? And there is a Lion of Judah, amen. We need the Lion of Judah too, but it's a full picture of what strength means, right? Heaven's exchange rate hasn't changed in 2,000 years, and I don't know why, but some of us live our lives as if, nope, today it's gonna change, right? It may not have changed for 2,000 years, but today will be the first day that heaven's exchange rate changes, and it's not going to be in my favor, right? It's not going to be in my marriage's favor. It's not going to be in my health favor. It's not going to be in my workplace's favor. It's not going to be in my mental favor, right? That's how we live sometimes. We are always exchanging something, whether it's truth for illusion, growth for passivity, peace for fear, or, to look in scripture, ashes for beauty. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Mourning for joy, despair for praise. That's Isaiah 61. Sin for freedom, fear for love, sickness for healing, mustard seeds of faith for miracles, and ultimately, death for life. Did you know you are signed up for heaven's exchange rate? If you are born again, you don't have to do anything else. This is part of our inheritance as sons and daughters of God, right? But if we're being really real, some of us feel a lot safer carrying around our ashes, carrying around our sin, our despair, carrying around what brings death because of the illusions that the earth has tried to feed us. But during our Core Strength Month, I want to really invite you to take seriously the word of God, take him at his word, and invite the reality of Jesus, the truth of Jesus that says he set us free into the core of who you are. Amen? Today is the day to exchange the world's illusions for his reality, our past for his sozo, right? It's the sozo salvation of God. That's what salvation is in Greek. And it means healing, wholeness, deliverance, freedom. Amen? That's good to get excited about. John 8:32 says, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. All right, are you ready to go on a little trip with me here? It's in my notes. I was scared to say it, but we're going to go there. I don't think there are any kids. Okay. Any kids? No, I don't think so. All right. So my one day a week job other than here is down at the pregnancy center, for those of you who don't know, the Finger Lakes Pregnancy Center. And Brian and I are the healthy relationships directors. Now, I'm the healthy relationships director. He's on my team because I was it before we got married, right? And so it sounds great on paper. It's like, great, we get to help people have healthy relationships. What it really means is that we are talking about healthy sexuality to teenagers, right? I don't know how I signed up for this, but like I just woke up one day and I'm like, how did I end up here, God, right? And so the amazing thing is Brian and I actually went to Philadelphia for a training. So it was really cool, honestly. And we got certified in this curriculum. That's amazing. And it's got, you know, biblical values and all of that. But it's also scientific, which I really appreciate. Who got taught healthy relationships? We all know what that means. And no science was involved. It was this should, right? You're kind of shoulded with stuff right there. And instead of actually looking at the truth that would actually help you understand maybe why you're being told to do this or that, right? Well, one of the books is about the power of casual one-night stands, I'll put it that way, all right? And the effect it has on our brains. And one of the things that we like to tell teenagers is you can't wear protection on your brain, right? That's as far as I will go today, and then we'll all crawl out of our holes. You can go to the next youth group or school, right, that we go to. Poor Brian and I. But anyway, it's really fascinating, and it really matters, because sexual activity at any level releases hormones that cause a mind shift. It actually shifts our brain. When Jesus says to do things in the Bible or not to do things, he kind of made our brain. It's not just a just do it, don't ask questions. It's, we'll do it and ask why, because there's a good why, right? It actually changes the chemistry in our brain. And I'm not just talking about the ultimate version of sexual activity. I'm talking about all the way through. And so what I'm trying to say is here, when it says, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free, that word know means to know through personal experience. And it's actually the word where in the Bible it says, well, she knew him in marriage. It's an intimate experience. And I believe that one of the reasons they chose to use that word in this is because God wants us to know the truth in such a way that it actually shifts our brain. Intimacy with Jesus can actually change how you see things, can change how you think. And someone's saying, well, why are you thinking that? And you're like, well, because I spent time with Jesus. I was in relationship with God. I'm not talking about the relationship that you have between a man and a woman. I'm just talking about, that's a mere reflection of what's possible with a relationship with Jesus. Amen? And so there's a brain chemistry shifting kind of exchange that we can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit when we know the truth and the truth can set us free. You following? You know, those little trips, I was like, sign up, right, and go with me there. But it's really incredible to see how science can even reflect the Word of God. It's pretty incredible. And how the restoration and the power of God can heal our brains, right? It's never hopeless, no matter what we've been through, no matter what we've done, has been done to us. The healing power of God is the strongest force on earth, right? Jesus is stronger, and he can heal brains. I've heard testimony of him healing in the most crazy ways in relationships. So if that's what you need this morning, just receive it from him. So I'm going to start to wrap up here, and I'm going to do my last point, but my last point's really short, so don't worry. But strength is built through testimony, right? It says you will overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. What you repeat, you repeat. So we're on our way to church this morning, and some of us were a little tired, both of us actually. So we stopped at the gas station to get coffee, which if anyone's watched, my brother-in-law makes coffee. He was in a coffee competition in Denmark, so I apologize that you just heard what I just said. But anyway, we needed caffeine. So we stopped at the gas station, and it meant that we were going another way to church. Now, Brian and I live over the hill, and we come to church all the time. I think I calculated how many times I've been on that road in my life, and I don't want to say the number. It was like thousands upon thousands upon thousands. So we were going to go over the hill, but we went the old way that I used to go when I was a kid to church. Well, Brian doesn't normally go that way. And so we're driving, and there's this point in the road where if you go straight, you go to downtown Dryden. If you go left, you come over to our church. Well, we're flying down the hill because we're trying to get here. And we start to climb the hill to go straight. And I'm like, Brian, no, turn left, turn left. And he, like, you know, safely, very safely, turns left. All right, it's a back road. We were not speeding. It was just, you know, we got to watch out for deer, actually. So I go a lot slower than I used to. But anyway, we turn left, and Brian says, man, I have just done that so many times. I did it without thinking, right? What you repeat, you repeat. Have you ever found yourself doing something? You're like, why am I even in the pantry, right? Why am I grabbing this? Why am I looking at this? It's like you don't even realize, because what you repeat, right? When we think we can do life without Jesus, we're actually saying we believe we are stronger than God. Think about this. Can we get real? A real God can only transform a real us, right? That's one of my favorite truths about transformation with Jesus. But it often sounds sneaky. So it says, I'm too busy for quiet time with God, or however you want to do that. It actually says, other things are stronger than God. I'd rather fill myself with some other thing like social media, or maybe it's alcohol or pornography or gossip or something else. The world's way of meeting my needs is stronger than God's. That's what we're actually saying. We don't realize it most of the time. I don't need anyone else. I'm stronger than community. I can't forgive. What they did is stronger than the cross. Or what I did is stronger than the cross. But the issue is, that's like saying a sheep's PSI or a moth's PSI is stronger than the tiger. Right? It's a joke, because God is stronger than the universe. Right? So it says in 1 Samuel 17, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion, 650 PSI, or a bear, 1200 PSI, came and took a lamb, 0 PSI, out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it. David, a lot of PSI, right? I'm not saying with his mouth, but my gosh, the guy had strength. And delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard. There you go, a lamb's beard. And struck it and killed it. Oh, no, not a lamb's beard. Well, the lion's beard. Oh, I guess it's like I call it that, a mane. I'm sorry, the translation that I chose. Anyway, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Just say like one of them. Seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. So when David needed core strength, he looked to what he had done in the past with God and said, I'm going to repeat with God what I've done in the past. How many know oftentimes we say history repeats itself, right? And usually that's not necessarily said in a positive way. But history with God also repeats itself. Our Bible study this week talks about the power of remembering and how the church often will read about the New Testament and then jump to today. And there's thousands of years of church history of amazing men and women with history in God that can actually help strengthen us to live out our faith today. And there's a power in remembering, and our culture usually is very forgetful, at least in America. I wouldn't make that a generalized statement for the whole world. But one coaching technique I used is to actually ask someone, well, when was the last time you felt this way? What helped you overcome it that time? And then invite them to kind of process through, what did they learn about God? What did they learn about themselves? And that actually can build core strength. Does that make sense? It's actually an exercise that you can use when you're feeling in crisis. Maybe you've never felt that way before, but you think, you know what? Bob did. I'm going to call Bob. What did Bob learn about God? What did Bob learn about himself? Because there's strength in community, right? That's another way we exercise core strength. So why don't you stand on your feet as we start to close here? When I can't find a testimony, when I can't find anything in my life I want to repeat, I'm going to call my friend, I'm going to call a pastor, I'm going to call someone, I'm going to say, build me up, I need core strength, right? I love this verse in Hebrews. It says, and let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Encourage, fill each other with courage, with strength, right? Build each other up in strength. So today, I just want to pray for us all and I want to ask you a question. What do you want to repeat? What are you repeating that you don't want to repeat? And what do you want to exchange with Jesus today? Because heaven's exchange rate is off the charts. In Mark 10:51, Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." Sometimes we go to God and God is asking, "What do you want me to do for you?" And we think, isn't it obvious? But there's an invitation to be intentional and surrender, to exchange, to participate, right? We overcome by the blood that was shed in exchange for our sins, and we overcome by what we repeat in Jesus. It can even change our brain chemistry. So I want to give you a tool real quick, and I wish I'd written it because it's actually something that you can even write down. It says in Galatians, those who belong to Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of sinful nature to his cross. And this is a prayer. Normally I don't say, you know, pray this way exactly, but this is a prayer Brian and I learned. It's actually a marriage tool or just a relationships tool, but you can use it whether you're single, married, whatever life season or wherever you're at. It says, I nail this to the cross and I break all agreements I've made known or unknown with this. I repent and I ask Jesus, what do you have for me in return? If you are married or you're, you know, friendship or work relationship, whatever kind of relational situation, you get in a situation that's a challenge, you do this prayer right in the middle of it, and I guarantee God will exchange and purify some motives and some attitudes and beliefs, and it will shift how you then re-enter in, back into the relationship, right? But you can do this for anything. So that's a really powerful exercise to exchange. And I'll put that on the Connect website this afternoon so you can look at that. So Jesus, right now, I thank you for the gift of being able to exchange, for the gift of renewing our strength in you so we can run and not grow weary. And God, right now, we do repent for any time where we have exchanged truth for illusion. God, we thank you. This isn't about striving. This isn't about being better. This isn't about bad emotions, whatever that is. But God, this is about surrender. This is about receiving. This is about what you did on that cross and what you did in that tomb and that empty grave. So Father, I just speak to every person here and I bless your brain. I know that's a weird thing to bless maybe in a church, but really we should probably do it more often. I bless your brain to reflect heaven, the mind of Christ, and any repeated patterns or behaviors that do not line up with your identity in Christ, right now in Jesus' name, God, I ask that you would rewire our brains, that the habits and the patterns that are dysfunctional, that bring destruction to our lives and the people around us, I thank you, God, that you are reframing, that you are redeeming, that you are restoring even our physical mind and brain, in Jesus' name. Thank you for your healing power that is stronger than anything else. And God, whether that looks like just right now, a sovereign healing, or there's a process that you're inviting us into, we just say yes, God. And I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ this week, though it is too great to understand fully. And then you will be made complete with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Ephesians 3:16-19. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.